All right, good morning, everyone. Was anybody cold when you walked in this morning? I saw 7 degrees on that car, but you know what? It's warm in here. And it's nice when it's cold outside because nobody wants the message then, so the preacher can preach as long as he wants up here. That's what they told me. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Is when I told the kids, this is one of my personal favorite sections of scripture, and when I was shaking hands at the end of the last service, it already laid on my heart that this was where we were going to be when we came back here. And to tell you the truth, the first time, not only that I read this scripture, but that I was really supposed to teach this scripture to the kids and give them something that I hope would be life-changing and make them want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I was as lost with this scripture, and I just said, Lord, I need you to make this real to me. And so I was sitting at work, and I got a call from Miss Angie, and she said, hey, do you think a couple of you guys could come and help us with Vacation Bible School? And I love Vacation Bible School, so I said, sure, we're going to be right there. And in 2018, verse number 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, was the key verse. And so I started reading it. I started reading the lesson. And I had told Angie, I said, listen, I said, we can help Monday through Thursday. I said, on Friday, the pastor who had married us, I remember it to this day, was having a 50th wedding anniversary celebration down in Texas. And so Lulu and I, Lulu's dad actually came to me and said, let's rent a truck and drive all the way down. I said, no, we are not driving in a truck. So of course, we waited till last minute. We didn't have much money. I was looking at plane tickets and I said, I don't know if we can afford them. Let's hop in the truck. Let's go. We're all going to Texas. So literally, Thursday, we had our sale. We had Vacation Bible School. We jump in the truck. We all of a sudden start driving to Texas, just straight from Maryland, to go down on Saturday, to come back, be back in work by Monday. We did make it. We made it safely. A little bit of a crazy trip. But the whole time I had this section of scripture on my heart. I had taught it. The kids seemed to be getting it. They seemed to be understanding it. It seemed to be making a difference. My other leaders around me seemed to be getting this section of scripture. But for some reason, I could not get this scripture down. And I said, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me through these first few verses of 2 Peter? So I'm going to begin reading it to you because that always helps me when I was looking at it. And then we're going to pray that God can help us through this. And I just hope that what we see through these first 8 verses might help everybody through the next week. It says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Another word for charity is love there. And verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this section of scripture. Lord, I thank you that you're patient with us. Lord, even as we're teaching and we're preaching, Lord, that we're always learning. And Lord, that you have something for us at every page and every word of scripture, Lord, that can minister to us right where we are. Lord, I just thank you for this section of scripture. I thank you for how you've taught it to me, Lord. Since then, it's been just one of the key places for me that, Lord, when life just seems to be crazy and when it just seems like we need something steady, that I just seem to always come here. And Lord, it's just something that's stuck with me. Lord, I know that you laid it on my heart because I needed it. And Lord, I just pray that this would be your message this morning to one in this place that might be able to use these scriptures and these verses this week. Lord, we just invite you into this place. We thank you for how good you are. Lord, I thank you for just all that you do for us. Lord, not only do you offer us salvation so freely, but Lord, you just love us right where we are, and you're willing to walk through life with us. And Lord, I just pray that everyone under the sound of this roof or the sound of this message as it goes out throughout the internet, Lord, would know that Lord, we serve you because we ought to serve you and because that's the right thing to do, but we also serve you because there's nothing better in life, Lord, than to serve you. And there's no place that we'd rather be than in the center of your will and just serving you and being in your word and singing your praises each and every day. Lord, we do love you and thank you. I ask you that you forgive me for my sins and hide me behind the cross and just fill me with your spirit that we might get your message and not mine. We just love you so much this morning and give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to entitle the message this morning, The ABCs of 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first thing we want to look at this morning is all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. I'm going to repeat that one time. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. We'll begin this looking in verse 1 and realize that Peter is not writing to anybody else but the believers here. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in the very first verse of this scripture, we identify the audience. He's speaking to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I hope each and every person in this room this morning is here because you say, yes, I do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to grow closer to him each and every day. You know, when we come to Sunday school, when we come to the service, when we come to prayer meeting, every time we're here, we want to be soaking in as much of God's word as we can because it will help us to walk with him each and every day. We know this was given to the brethren. We know this was given to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that we want our relationship with God to continue to grow each and every day. As we look into verse 2, we also see it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I think this is a pretty simple question, but let's just see by a vote of hands. How many people would like grace and peace in their life this morning? Raise your hands. I see almost the whole room. So if you want grace and peace in your life this morning, we want to pay attention to what it's saying here in this chapter. As I look at the world and I look at people that we're running into, there is a lot of different people who are trying to put different things in their life to give them this grace and peace. Maybe you think that money might solve those problems and might fill that void. Maybe you think that a person could solve those problems and fill that void. Listen, the world will try to sell you anything possible to fill that void, but I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're never going to fill that void that he is to fill in your heart. Only grace and peace can truly come through him, and that's why so many of these things that the world is putting out there and is pressing on us are just causing issue after issue. Grace and peace multiply in our lives through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 2 grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We also see that it's very important our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the knowledge that we just have of God in general. If you want grace and peace, you need to be in his word and you need to be in his will. It's one thing when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Salvation is free. It's a free gift that Jesus gives to us. We know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and that Jesus came. He laid his life down. He was the perfect, sinless lamb that went to Calvary. And after 3 days, he rose again. He came out of the tomb conquering sin, death, and hell. And that salvation is free. But that is only the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our friend. He walks through life with us. He is with us each and every day. I mentioned to Emery this week, Lulu and I just saw it all week how God provided in ways that only God could provide. Sometimes when you're serving God and you're trying to be a parent and you're trying to do things for the Lord and you just might not have all of life answers, all of a sudden you realize God comes through every time, right on time, and gives you exactly what you need. And the more that you see it, the more you say, hey, we got to go ahead and share this gospel because the world needs this message that we have. The world needs this knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of the God of heaven and earth, because without that knowledge, they're never going to have this grace and peace. You know, so many times when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we hit that mountaintop experience, we're saved, we've got salvation, and then all of a sudden, what happens the next day? We stumble, and we fall into sin. Maybe you're lucky, maybe you accepted Jesus Christ and never fell again. I fell time after time after time. But you know what? My Savior is long-suffering and patient with me. He's willing to help me. He's willing to help me walk forward. He's willing to help me learn. He's willing to help me verse by verse in His Word, just keep learning more and more about Him that can help me to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better employee, and to be a better servant of the Lord. You will notice the word knowledge is mentioned in verse 2 and 3. And this is the Greek word, excuse me, I'm not a Greek specialist, but ekgnosis, meaning super knowledge. That we are to have a super knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to want to learn about Him. We are to desire to learn about Him and the things of God, because the more and more we learn about God, the more grace and peace that we're going to have. When you look at the news, the world seems out of control. But when you know that Jesus Christ is on the throne, you know that it's going to be okay for us and that this is just a season. The next thing we see in verse 3 is this power that God has is a divine power. And I love that word power. It says in verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, and that word is like dynamite. And that's what we're to have inside of us when we get saved and when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and the knowledge of God, the words of God, the salvation message is to be like dynamite from us, where you go in and you just can't help but hide it. You know, when we walk into our work and we see someone struggling, the first answer we should give them is Jesus. When we walk into the grocery store and we meet somebody and they're having issues, the first message we should give them is Jesus. Because if they're ever going to have this grace and peace, we've got to get them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, as hard as you try, you cannot make them accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can just tell them, and it's going to have to be them making that decision. But it is our job to share the gospel. It is our job to go out there. I heard a mention of a Bible tract. Man, we ought to have Bible tracts in our cars, in our pockets, in our workplaces, because when we meet someone, hey, maybe you don't lead them to Christ there, but if you give them that tract, you never know when they're going to go and read that, and it'll have the plan of salvation that can lead them to Christ. It's just another tool that we have free at our disposal that we can hand out and use it to help lead others to Christ. You know, when this dynamite really goes off, the world around us will hear it. They will see it and they'll be like, hey, what's going on up there at First Baptist of Perryville? Those people are just always praising and singing praises to God and carrying on, and you hear the preacher just preaching and the people are so happy, and they'll realize that what we have is what they need in their lives. And all of a sudden, the gospel message can just ring clearly. And we need to make sure that we have that right in our lives first. We need to make sure we're studying. We need to make sure we're praying. We need to make sure we're coming together. Because all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I really couldn't understand that phrase, gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. I just couldn't grasp it. I couldn't understand where this was going. So I'll tell you a little bit more about my story. I taught VBS. We had a successful VBS. Kids were loving it. They were learning about God. They're singing praises to God. So we hop in the truck. We start heading to Texas. We start driving down, and I still didn't get it, and it was just on my heart. So I kept reading it, and I kept reading it, and kept reading it. Well, where we were going, this guy who was celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary, his name was Pastor Faustino, and his wife Esther had a very big impact on my wife and her family. And he was the one that led my father-in-law to Christ, and they were like grandparents to my wife and her brother and sister, and were really good members of their family. So it was interesting when we went to get married, you would think, well, Jimmy's going to pick the preacher because all his, like, 7 out of his 10 probably closest friends are all preachers, so probably one of them will do the wedding. But Lulu had mentioned, she goes, Pastor Faustino should do the wedding. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That'll be interesting to meet him, because I had known of him. I had shook his hand to meet him, but we really didn't get much of a chance to talk together and to be together until we went through marriage counseling right before the wedding. And we got to be really, really great friends. And I got to learn a lot about him and his ministry. I had heard a lot about him, but we just got to have a great time. So here we go. We load up in the pickup truck. We drove down. It was me, my wife. There was no Abby back then. She wasn't here yet. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and boy, who was here, Gonzalo Jr. with us. So we had 5 in a Chevy Silverado. We were talking about trucks this morning, Emery. A Chevy Silverado double cab, okay? That was what we could rent. It was what they had. That's a long way to go to Texas in a very small enclosed area. Okay, we had 5. When we got to Texas, my sister-in-law had flown down and she was going to drive back. We were going to be 6 of us going home from Texas in this little tiny cab of this truck. And so we headed all the way down. And of course, when we got there, we did not tell them we were coming. That's just something that we always did. We would always stop over. They would never know when we were coming. And so all of a sudden, the knock on their door, and here we are, the crowd from Maryland. And so we got to talk to them Friday night before the event on Saturday. And we just had a great time, talked about the Lord, talked about what was going on. And then we got to go to the hotel and get ready for the festivities, for the celebrating. And you would think when you went to a 50th anniversary, it would be all about the couple. But you just have to know these two people to know that their whole life was serving others for Jesus Christ. And his ministry happened before he came to Pennsylvania, while he was years and years in Pennsylvania, and still continued after they had went back to Texas, after he had retired. And we learned so much from them. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, we're in this celebration, and you'd think it would be about the couple, but it was really like going to a church service or a revival service. And we were praising God. They were talking about what God had done, how God had carried them through. We were singing hymns. We were singing songs. It was a wonderful time. And looking around that room, what I realized was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now, if you look at these two, they are not the richest people in the world. They don't have the most material wealth of anybody that you would ever know. But sitting in that room, you could feel the love of Christ. And you could see all the people that were impacted. Keep in mind, we're in Texas. Most of their ministry was in Pennsylvania. The room's already filled with people who they had impacted their lives with their ministry from just heading down to Texas, being retired. And you're seeing that what this is talking about is not material things. It's not money. It's not maybe some things that we desire, but it's something that is so much more. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. As you looked around that room, you knew every person in that room knew God had taken care of them every step along the way. When they went to Pennsylvania, through the time that they came back to Texas, God had taken care of them. You saw that they had served God faithfully for all those years. You know, for a young preacher, it's good to look up and see preachers who have served God faithfully year after year after year and have finished their course serving God faithfully. And what an encouragement that was sitting there in that room to see that God had preserved their marriage and they were together and they loved one another. And God had worked all of that together, that they were there and they were able to minister and do that ministry together. And then looking around that room and seeing many lives that they had led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You had seen God had provided for their physical needs, for their spiritual needs, for their family needs. And not only that, but the fruit that they had in that room, just in that one room, miles and miles away from really where most of their ministry was, you saw that God had blessed their ministry. And all of a sudden, sitting in that room, when this scripture says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that is what they had. They wanted nothing because all they wanted was their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he was with them every step along the way. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. And if you are going to serve God and you are going to step out and be a child of God and accept that saving knowledge of him, you can have this too. And you want to be close to the Savior. You want to learn about the Savior because there's nowhere else that you are going to find these things. There's nowhere else that you are going to find this grace and peace and find this fulfillment that God is going to give you. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We obtain this by having knowledge of him that has called us. What an example. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see first, all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. Secondly, we see that by these things, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Interesting verse there. Let's get into verse 4. Before we even get to the fact of the point of divine nature, by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, we've got to stop here at this first phrase. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. If you want a big encouragement on a cold, snowy morning, start thinking about the promises that God gives us. When I was thinking about it before the message, some of the things that really came to me were, one, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that this morning? That's a promise in Scripture. How about this one? This one changed my life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I read that verse, I knew that Jimmy was a whosoever, and that if I called upon the name of Jesus, that I could receive that salvation gift so freely. It's an exceeding great and precious promise. How about this one? Jesus will come again in like manner. He is going to come again. We are going to be in his presence. And we can rejoice today because of these exceedingly great and precious promises. If there's a statistician in here, we ought to go through the Bible and figure out how many promises there really are that God gives us, because we should write each one of them down and we can hold to each and every one of them when we're going through a hard time, because it will help bring us through. In verse 4, as you continue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here we see in verse 4 that we are to be partakers of this divine nature. It starts with salvation. And once you're saved, we know that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us, and he starts having that change in us. Now, on day one that you are saved might look different than on day 382 that you're saved. And I hope it does, because we should be growing in the love of Christ. We should be getting closer to him. We should gain experience walking with him. And the more of that we gain, the more that we can help those that are around us. But that divine nature that you have is something that people can see. It's something that they can feel, because you're just a different person. I know from walking in this room and shaking most of your hands, within about 1 to 3 minutes, I feel that I can tell that divine nature that's in you, because I can see the work that God's done in you. I can see what God is doing through you. And yes, we might not get all this knowledge at once. We don't get saved and become an expert right away. But the more that we learn God's word, the more that we settle in God's word, we become a partaker of this divine nature. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me tell you, we want to resemble our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When people see us, we want them to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When someone hears you talk, we should sound different than the world. You know, for some reason, people just like to be real similar to others. Well, I don't want to go out there and somebody think I'm different. And then I start looking at what the world values, and I'm like, I don't want to be considered the same as what they're considered as. I want people to realize we're called out of this mess. We don't want a broken home. We don't want issues with our finances. We don't want issues in our families. We want to make sure that we are serving the Lord, that we have all things that are given unto his children. We want everything that God has for us, and we don't want what this world is going to give us. Everybody always teases me at my job. And I sell cars, so of course, most of the guys that are there at my work have a nice fancy car. They love cars. I don't really like them. I deal with the problems of cars, so right now I'm not too fond of them because all of them seem to have a problem. I know some of you could relate to that. But I've got a 99 Ford F-250. Okay, it's old. It's beat up. It's rusted. But I love that truck. I love a truck. I've got two kids that came to our youth group, and they always tell me, they say, Jimmy, you can't save that truck because we got saved in that truck. That's where you led us to Christ. That's our birthplace. And we always joke about that truck. But let me tell you, worldly stuff, new cars, they might make you feel good for a season, but that's not what you need. Big houses, all this stuff, loads and loads of money. You can have all the money you want. It won't make you happy. It won't teach you to be different to help change the world. We need to resemble our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should look like him. We should sound like him. When someone sees us, they should realize that we're not after all that stuff. We don't need newfangled stuff. We don't need expensive stuff. What we need is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we have that, he's going to carry us through each and every day. In verse 4, it says here, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Not only what you gain is the divine nature, but look at what you avoid. Through this divine nature, we escape worldly corruption. You know what? I look at a bunch of the things that the Bible tells us to do that maybe the world rebels against. When you rebel against God's word, you start having issues in your life because you're going away that God didn't intend you to go. I could say it as simply as the fact that my dad, when I was young, told me not to put my hand on a burning stove. Now, if that was on the nightly news, they'd probably say, you know what, Jimmy's dad, he was just too strict with Jimmy. Jimmy, he should have let Jimmy do whatever he wanted. My dad didn't want me to touch the burning stove because he didn't want my hand to get burned. That's the way that God is with us. If God tells you to leave something alone, leave it alone because it's not for you. He's got something so much better for you, and you don't want to have the consequences that come with sin. Most of the time I've gotten in big trouble in my life and I've dealt with big consequences has been because of my sin and because I wasn't right with God. I ask you this morning, what is it in your life that you're holding on to that you say, God, I'll give you this 80, 90%. I love that prayer before the offering because sometimes talk about tithing is just money. It's with our money. It's with our time. It's with our treasures. It's with everything that we have. We need to realize it belongs to God. And we need to give it all to God because if we're holding back, I'll tell you what you're holding back is probably sin. You know, there's not a bad thing with a lot of things in life. Like, you can love a new fancy car, and there's nothing wrong with having a new fancy car. But if it's a God to you and that's where your time and treasure is, then that car is a problem. You can like to watch football. I love to watch football. But in the end of the week, if you watch a whole bunch of football and you never come to read God's word, and you're not showing up to church because you're there, and that's taking precedence in your life, there's probably something wrong with the way we're treating it. You could put anything there. Anything. Anything that you put above God, we need to get it out of the way. Because let me tell you, whatever you're getting from it is not as good as what God is going to give you. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, it says here, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that this morning? What God tells you, those exceeding great and precious promises, do you really believe that God is going to do those? Because let me tell you, if you do, you are not going to veer from what he says. To share a little more with that experience that I had with them personally, Pastor Faustino and Esther, when we went up for marriage counseling, we had a great time. They lived up near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It wasn't, I think, in the same zip code, but right 5 minutes from there. And so Lulu and I would drive up. Our wedding was in May. So we would drive up, and we would drive in that old pickup truck. We had a lot of nice days in that old pickup truck. And we would go up there, and a lot of times there was snow on the ground because it snows a little more there than what it does here. And we would talk to them each and every day about God's word and what God had for our marriage. Now, the first time that I had met them, it was funny. I remember Lulu looked at me. We were riding in her parents' van. And she goes, "When you meet Pastor Faustino and Esther, they have to like you because they're like our grandparents. And if they don't like you, it's not going to be a good thing." And I thought to myself, well, no pressure. I'm thinking, who am I going to meet up here? Who is this guy? Well, I walked in and you met young preacher to experienced preacher. The reason that I could like him and talk to him and get along with him was we had the same divine nature. We serve the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, I knew a whole lot less than he does. I still do. I didn't have the experience that he did. But when we could talk, we could sit there and talk for hours because we had the same interest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We had the same priority, sharing the gospel. And we could just talk, and we could just talk, and we could just talk, and we knew that our nature was the same. And it made all of that easy, and it made it to where it was very easy for us to get along. As we went through marriage counseling, I started seeing a lot of the things that he was instilling in us was stuff that I already knew that we just had to secure and we had to make sure was foundational for us because we did not want to miss any of these things, especially at the start of our marriage. And let me tell you, it was a great sessions to go through because iron sharpens iron, and he was somebody who could help us to live to the best of our abilities as husband and wife too, and to come together and create a unit that would glorify and honor God. He became a great friend to me. And I laugh, I'm probably going to text him this video and tell him I was talking about his testimony, but we've been trying to go fishing. Emery knows I love fishing. We've been trying to go fishing. One day, hopefully he gets back up here to Maryland, we can go out and go fishing. He's not been traveling a lot for COVID, but hopefully we can do that one day. But listen, pray that God helps you to have this nature. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll start having this nature. And the more that we live for him, the more that we serve for him, the more that we will see these promises start coming true and being placed in our life, and the more that we'll realize that we have everything that we could possibly want, because all good things that we need in our lives will come from God. The first thing we see is that all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given to God's children. The second thing, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Okay? So when you do these things, when you accept Jesus Christ, he's going to instill this nature in you, and he is going to start building it and building it and building it. Lastly, charity is the ultimate result of our faith. And don't get scared away by that word. Charity is a fancy word for love. It means the same thing. Charity or love is the ultimate result of our faith. It says in verse 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." I ask you this morning, are you diligent in your faith? You know, I'm sure if I looked at your week, you're diligent at your place of work, that you're going to go and you're going to focus because that's your job. I sure hope you're diligent with your family, and you do what you need to as a husband, a wife, or as a son or daughter, that you do your part in your family and you do your diligence. How about are you diligent in your faith? Do you pray daily? Do you study God's word daily? Because if you're going to grow closer to him and he's going to be a priority and he's going to mean everything to you, you are going to have to do diligence to come and meet with him. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I've missed many meetings that God was going to have with me, but he's never missed one I wanted to have with him. We need to be diligent in our faith. We add virtue and knowledge next. It says here in verse 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." Oliver B. Green, one of my favorite commentators, mentioned that virtue does not only mean chastity, but it also means, in this context, strength, valor, courage, and excellence. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We want to be excellent, and we want to have a faith that is strong, a faith that is courageous, and a faith that's going to carry us through on the worst of days. You know, I think about those two, and I think about all they had to accomplish, and they went to minister somewhere that was far away from home. They didn't have a support network. They didn't have anything. The only thing that they had there with them to carry them through was God. And he was faithful and just to do that. One of the things they shared as I was thinking about that day, I remember the son got up and he shared about being the pastor's son at that church. And he said, we would run up to the church. And he goes, if me and my sister were fighting back and forth, back and forth, he goes, mom and dad would pull right up in front of the van and they'd lock the doors. And he goes, you knew everybody in the church was looking right at us because why is the pastor's family not getting out of the van? And he said they would start to pray. And you got to know Pastor Faustino to know when I say he would start to pray. Because when he would start to pray, you might know that you're going to miss the church service because we would always pray a very long time. But he said they would start to pray and we would not get out of that car until we were right with one another. And I started thinking about that. And I just started thinking about our family. And we've got Abby and Chloe and they're not old enough to be going back and forth yet. But I just started to think about that and just start thinking about the fact that we need to make sure that we are right for our other brothers and sisters. We need to make sure we are right for our families. And we need to know that when we do this, our faith is going to be stronger. It's going to be courageous. And we're not going to move from it on the hard times. You know what was cool about being there? His son is a pastor. And his daughter is serving the Lord. So yeah, you know what? You say, hey, maybe that day they didn't have it all together. They pulled up to the church and they locked the doors and they weren't going to get out. But it had an impact. And the impact of their faith being strong and courageous was passed on to their kids. And their kids are both doing great things for the Lord. And they were able to stand up and share that testimony. And you see how it passes on generation to generation. Next, we see as you go through this progression, we first start, and besides this, giving all diligence, we need a diligent faith, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. We want a faith that is knowledgeable and strong and courageous. In verse 6, it says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. So look at that first one there in verse 6. Godliness is a very simple word. It means to be like God. That's what they needed. They needed patience to lead to godliness. Before that, it talks about temperance and patience. Now, temperance means self-control. Do we see all these things in our lives? Do we have all of these characteristics in our lives? Because let me tell you, we need each and every one. And there's no way that we're going to have all of this in the amount that God wants us to have it unless he is Lord and Savior of our life and unless he is first in our life. You know, if you want to be a good husband, God needs to be first. And if you want to be a good dad, God needs to be first. I had one of those weeks where I was just looking at stuff in life and I was just looking at stuff around us. And I said, God, I need your strength to be the man of God I need to be for our churches, for my family, for my wife, for my kids. And you know what? He delivers time after time after time. If I started giving you guys testimony of God's goodness, we could stand here through the hymn sing and just talk about the goodness that he's just shown us in the last 7 days. But I'm telling you, the God that we serve is good, and it's worth it to serve him. And it's the best thing for your family to serve him. And don't let the world distract you. Don't let it make you give up on having this diligence with your faith, because we need all of these characteristics in our lives. I shared with the kids in verse 7. It says here, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Notice that it doesn't jump right to love. I love how sometimes we want to jump from just saved to the most experienced Christian, but sometimes before you're able to truly love someone the way Christ does, we're going to have to be kind to them and be nice to them and pray for God's help to have God show us how to love them in the way that he would have us to love them. But we show them brotherly kindness. And then we get to charity. And then we get to love. And I'll tell you, the reason that this whole scripture was really brought together when we were down there was, as I was looking back in and forth and back and forth, I saw that their ministry and the fruit that they had to the people around them really came down to the fact that they loved those people. And the more I got to know them, they loved each and every one. They knew each and every one. They were a part of them. Still to this day, he'll call me every couple of weeks or every month, and he'll check on us. He'll check on how we're doing, because he had that love for the people that he served. And let me tell you, charity is the ultimate result of our faith. We could get in the love chapter. It might be something good to look at with Valentine's Day coming up, and just the fact that we need to be loving to the world around us, because otherwise our message is going to be like a tinkling cymbal. And we need to love people, because without love, they're never going to accept that message that we're sharing with them. Verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, if we will do these things and we will commit to the Lord, we will accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we will commit to serving him each and every day, our ministries, whatever they may be, are going to bear fruit. And I believe that because the Bible says that it'll happen. As I end the message, I just remember the day we actually drove down to Texas a time before with him to help him take a car down. His wife flew, but he wanted to take one of their cars down with him. So we actually drove down. It was also on Labor Day weekend. I remember that. We left on a Friday. We flew back that Monday, but we drove their van all the way to Texas with him. And when we were getting ready, right before that, he had asked me, and we had went over, and I remember we celebrated my sister-in-law's birthday right outside their house, because they had already moved most of the stuff out. I think even their table was moved out. But we were standing there, and they picked up a box, and it was full of old hymnals. It's funny, you guys are having a hymn sing. Maybe you can sing this song tonight. But we were sitting outside, and their driveway goes up a little hill. And on the little hill, there was like the stone wall, because we were all sitting there on the side. I can remember it to this day. It's one of those spiritual moments that I think I'll remember forever. And I sat there, and I watched Lulu's dad, Pastor Gonzalo and Pastor Faustino and another family that they had ministered to, they were really close to Peter. And the three guys looked in there and they picked up the hymnals. And we began to sing. I actually caught a little bit of that on a video. I probably should have had it with me this morning. I could have showed you. But when I went back and replayed it, the singing wasn't as good as what I remember. It wasn't as good as our team was this morning. But let me tell you, the Spirit of God was there. And I remember the song we sang, and I'm thinking, here you've got one of my spiritual heroes, one of the giants of the faith, somebody who served God all the way, who never bowed a knee to anything else, who in good and bad was faithful, who you're looking just there standing in a close group around him, that most every person on that driveway was saved because of his ministry, because he was willing to serve God. And here they're picking up a hymnal and they were singing. It's one of my wife's favorite hymns. I think it is her favorite hymn. "But I come to the garden." You know that song? "So I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." What's that chorus? It says, "And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." And I remember hearing that song, and I remember they sang all three verses, and we sat there, and I thought, that's one of God's men, and that's one of God's men that finished his course. He fought his faith. And let me tell you, he wasn't done. That was the end of a chapter. He went down to Texas. He actually had major heart problems, and so we were really glad we got to go and see him. But then he was leading others to Christ, and he was leading other marriage things. And when you point this, the point that I share this with you and I share this experience was, I was sitting in that pickup truck coming back, and you saw this lasting legacy of love that they had shared in their ministry. So I came back to this scripture. And I read verse 3. I remember I was sitting right in the middle of that truck. I had no Bible because there wasn't enough room. I just had my cell phone. And I read verse 3 and it said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And after going through a whole vacation Bible school, it was good because ours was still coming up. I was going to get a second shot at teaching this thing. I looked and I said, that's what they have. And to this day, when I'm going through a hard time, I flip to this scripture and I say, that's what I want for Abby and for Chloe to have and for their kids. And I want to make sure as their dad that I do my part that they might have that. So to finish up, I want to read you these 3 points, and I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to get the musicians up here. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, remember that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. What the world can give you might look like it's better. Let me tell you, it's not. You want what God can give you. It's better. It's better for you. It's better for your kids. It's better for your grandkids. Don't take what the world has to offer you. Know that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to God's children. You want to be close to him. You want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And let me tell you, it's worth it. Number 2, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that divine nature is already in you. And you want to study and you want to be diligent in your faith. Because the more that you are, the more that it will impact your life and the further fruit that's going to be born in your ministry. And finally, charity is the ultimate result of that faith. Listen, I don't know what God's calling you to do. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a youth leader. Maybe you're a preacher. Maybe you do another ministry that I didn't mention here. But whatever you do, your work is important in God's kingdom. And it's important for you to do that work with love. And to love the people that you're ministering to. Because when you love the people you're ministering to, maybe someone's going to come against you. Maybe they're going to talk to you and they're not going to like you and they're going to be difficult to you. You need to love them anyway because you might be the person that can bridge that gap and you might be the person that can lead that someone to Christ when they need it the most. Charity is the ultimate result of our faith. If I asked you this morning, are we doing our part to love the world that's around us? Yes, it's in a mess. Yes, there's a lot of people that are facing really difficult things now. But in the dark is where we need the light. We are children of the light. We want to walk in the light. We want to share it. And I pray that this section of Scripture will encourage you this morning to pay attention to all these things, but hopefully to love the world that's around you and hopefully to share the gospel to someone before we meet here again next week. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I just pray that this message was a help to someone that was in this room. Lord, I thank you that for me, Lord, when I've had stuff that comes up like this, a verse that, Lord, I might just not be able to understand and I just hit a brick wall, that you've given me great examples, Lord, who you've shown, who you have used to show me that, Lord, we ought to love you and there's nothing better. Lord, everything that we want in our life, the fruit we want in our life, the people we want in our life, the results we want in our life come when we're faithful to you and when we serve you like we should and when we're close to you. Lord, I pray that blessing upon everyone in this room here. Lord, that we would come to a place. Lord, we're not saying this morning it's going to make somebody rich, it's going to make you any money, but what we're saying is it's the most worthwhile path to take in our lives. Lord, we love you for what you did for us. Lord, I pray if there's one under this roof that's not accepted you, that before they leave this place, they would come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, that they'd know it's as easy as ABC. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior and call upon you to save them. And Lord, I pray if there's one that before they leave this place, they'd come and see me or one of the deacons or the elders here, Lord, that they could lead them to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, for those of us who are believers, this is a high bar to hold. Lord, it was easiest for me to see this through Pastor Faustino and for his example and right during that time for me, and I've carried it with me every single day. Lord, when I get in trouble and when my faith hits rocky ground, this is one of the scriptures that I come to, and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for speaking this to me because I've needed this in my life on multiple occasions. Lord, we need this each and every day. Lord, we pray for that you would help us to love the world around us as you love the world, that you would help us to be willing to share the gospel with someone who needs it. And Lord, we pray that in each and every ministry that we're a part of, that we would see the fruit being born. Lord, we just thank you for how good that you are. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And we just ask as we come to the invitation time, if there's any decision that needs to be made, that you'd help them make it before they leave. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.